This is James Throgmorton, and I want to talk about a place that I saw a few weeks ago. My wife Cindy and my daughter Mandy and I were able to take a trip to Israel, and we saw a lot of sites, all very interesting, and I'll be talking about those in the future, but I want to zero in on one particular place that we saw. That's the Jezreel Valley. And I want to look at it from the perspective of biblical prophecy and things that have happened there in the past and things that are going to happen in the future. If you would, turn to 1 Kings, 18th chapter, and we're going to talk about an episode that happened in the history of ancient Israel and the history of the nation of Israel when it was divided. It was divided between the 10 tribes that was called Israel and Judah that was the Jewish people, along with the Levites and some of the Benjaminites. First time in the Bible that the word Jew is even mentioned is the fact that the Jews were at war with Israel. It was a civil war. The nation was fighting. And if you'll remember a little bit of the story and the history, after Solomon, Rehoboam and Jeroboam became kings of the separate nations. Jeroboam was the king of the 10 tribes, and Rehoboam was the king of Judah. And Jeroboam did away with God's religion in the nation. He went back to paganism and the very things that God had told the children of Israel not to do. Believe it or not, but in this modern time, the end time descendants of the nation of Israel still follow that ancient religion that Jeroboam instituted. Baal worship, or Baal worship, is the most likely the proper pronunciation. And God sent Elijah the prophet, and if we'll look in the 18th chapter and verse 21, Elijah had a confrontation with the prophets of Baal and with a lot of the people of Israel, and they were gathered together in the Jezreel Valley. The Bible tells us it was Mount Carmel. Now, Mount Carmel is actually a chain of mountains. On one side of it is the Mediterranean, and on the other side is the Jezreel Valley, which actually allows you to see nearly all the way across the nation of Israel. You can see Megiddo, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. Elijah had this confrontation, and he challenged the people of Israel, not the Jews, but the nation of Israel. He challenged them, and let's listen to his challenge. And Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Eternal is God, follow Him. But if Baal, follow him." And listen to what happened. The people didn't answer at all. There was silence. They didn't choose God. And then Elijah said unto the people, "I alone am left a prophet of the Eternal, but Baal's prophet are 450 men. Well, you can see here in that ancient day who had all the paid preachers, because Jeroboam was paying them. He had hired the lowest of caliber of human beings to be his religious leader. Now, if you want to go ahead and read the rest of the story sometime, Elijah actually killed all those prophets. Those 450 men were executed at God's command because Elijah challenged them and built an altar, and God answered, and fire fell and consumed Elijah's offering, but not the offering of the prophets of Baal. It's interesting, I thought, when we were there, and I don't know that we were on the exact site that I know we weren't on the exact site where Elijah had this confrontation, but we had to be pretty close because our guide told us that the natives called that mountain the Mountain of Fire because that's where God had sent fire down. Now, That was only a type of something that's going to happen later when the children of Israel return, because they haven't returned yet. The Jews have returned to the promised land, but not the children of Israel. Let's turn to the book of Hosea. Now, if you want more information on this same subject, I refer you to a sermon that's on the website called Atonement and Reconciliation. And also on the homepage, right at the top on our website, is a picture of the Jezreel Valley. Now, the day we were there, it was foggy, but you could get a concept, and the picture is nothing like what the valley looks like when you see with your naked eye. It's just 180 degrees. But the next day, we were able to drive through a lot of it, and you can really see how large and massive it was. If we look in Hosea, and I'm going to rush through this and not go verse by verse. I wish we had time to do that, but we don't have the time today. Let's look in verse 2, because Hosea was commanded to do something that was not a good thing to do. Go take yourself a wife of harlotry and children of harlotry, for the land has committed great harlotry by departing from the Eternal. And so the prophet Hosea did this, and God told Hosea to name him a specific name, named him Jezreel. He said, "For in a little while I will avenge the bloodshed of Jezreel on the house of Jehu, and will bring an end to the house of Israel." Now, there's a historical story there that Jehu destroyed Ahab's descendants in that valley, and he actually went further than God intended for him to go. That's a story in itself and a subject for another day. But God said he would avenge that in the future. "And it shall come to pass, in that day I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel." And that's where the 10 nations were taken captive by the Assyrians and carried away, and to this day have not returned to their nation. Now, the entire Bible, both Old and New Testament, that the central theme of the book is the restoration of the nation of Israel and the establishment of the kingdom of God on this earth. There's 4 sermons on our website that deal with that. They're forgotten, ignored truth, and there's some sermons that deal with the kingdom of God. Now let's stop and go down to the 9th verse. And Gomer, Hosea's wife, and the reason God did this is because he had been married or was a husband to the nation of Israel. And they had done all these things to him. They had abandoned him. They had committed adultery, whoredom. And in the 9th verse, he tells them, and if you remember back to the confrontation with the prophets of Baal, Elijah asked the people, and they didn't choose God. Elijah thought he was the only one left. Of course, God had reserved him 7,000. We find that out later. But Elijah thought he was the only one that was left because he had this big crowd of people, and nobody spoke up for God. Nobody, even after all that. In verse 10, it says, "Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered, and it shall come to pass, in the place where it was said unto them, Valley of Jezreel, you are not my people, there it shall be said to them, you are the sons of the living God." Verse 11. Now let's really zero in on this verse and listen to it. "Then the children of Judah and the children of Israel shall be gathered together and appoint them one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great will be the day of Jezreel." This is a prophecy for the future, one that has not happened yet, because the divided kingdom, the nation of Judah, that's where I just returned a few weeks ago from visiting, modern day nation of Judah that's about 60 years old, they've already been brought back to the promised land. The 10 tribes have not been brought back yet. There'll come a time that they'll meet in that Jezreel Valley. The remnant, the ones that are left, the ones that come through the Great Tribulation will meet there. And where Elijah had this confrontation with the prophets of Baal. In fact, on the picture on the website, it's a little hard to identify unless you know exactly where it is because it's a long view. But you can see Megiddo, where the Battle of Armageddon will take place. And God will have the remnant of these people gathered together there. And this time, fire won't fall and consume the sacrifice on the altar that Elijah had. Jesus Christ himself will return and come over to Megiddo and destroy all of God's enemies, all of his enemies, in the sight of Israel and Judah. And when they do that, it says they'll appoint themselves a leader. That leader will be Jesus Christ. They will choose God that day. They won't be quiet like they were in the, like their ancestors were in the day of Elijah. Now let's turn over in Hosea to the 16th verse. And it shall be in that day, says the Eternal, that you will call me my husband and no longer call me my master or Lord. Now think about that a minute, because that's what the word meant. I'm reading from the New King James, and it translates it exactly what it means in today's language. If you'll look at the little caption on the website, you'll see it out of the King James Bible where that's not translated, and you will no longer call me master or lord or Baal or Baal. You'll call me husband. And let's continue in verse 17. For I will take from her mouth the names of the Baals, and their name shall be remembered no more. In that day I will make a covenant with them, with the beast of the fields and the birds of the air, and with the creeping things of the ground. Bow and sword of battle I will shatter from the earth and make them lie down safely. And it goes on. I won't read it all today, but did you notice what's going to happen on that day? A covenant is going to be made. You know, you hear all the modern day Western so-called Christians talking about the new covenant and all about the new covenant. Well, actually, the only thing the Bible has to say about the new covenant is projecting forward to this day. Certainly, we know that the New Testament establishes the fact that those that are called to the first resurrection, the saints, if you would, come under the auspices of the new covenant, just like Abraham did. And of course, that again is a subject for a different day. But this is the event that the Bible talks about, that God will establish a new covenant. And at the same time, God's sign of the covenant, you know, when the flood was over, God made a covenant with Noah, and it was the rainbow. They would never destroy the earth again by water. When he makes this covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, the nature of the animals will be changed. Now, the book of Isaiah and a lot of places in the Bible talk about that, and they will no longer be hostile. The lion will lay down by the lamb. The lion will eat straw. Poisonous snake, a little child can play with it. Now, let's just turn for a minute over to Hebrews, the 8th chapter, and verse 8. And it starts off with what you hear a lot in, really zeroed in on, about the first covenant, the old covenant. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. And it wasn't that there was some error in the first covenant or God didn't keep his word and keep his part of the first covenant. No, it was that Israel didn't. Israel turned to whoredom. They turned away from God. They turned back to Baal, Dagon, all the pagan gods, you know, Ishtar. Hey, does that have any meaning in modern day? Do people observe that time? Sure they do. Sure they do. They haven't changed their hard hearts against God. Then in verse 8, because in finding fault with them, you see the fault wasn't with the covenant. It tells us right here. Hosea told us, then God said, behold, the days are coming, says the Eternal, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It doesn't say with the Protestant churches or the Catholic churches or with this specific thing. Is talking about a new covenant with the divided kingdoms of Israel, with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And like I said, Judah, a remnant, is already there, established a modern nation. It says, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Eternal. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, because they'll be reunified as one nation, the house of Israel. Now, all of you people out there that might listen to this that sort of don't like the law of God and sort of just consider New Testament Christianity, the modern concept of false New Testament Christianity, I got a little news for you. Every word of this that I just read out of Hebrews is from Jeremiah 31. It's something that the prophet Jeremiah prophesied would happen in the end time. In the very last days when God regathers and reunifies Israel and Judah and makes them his nation on this earth to disseminate his law and his word to all mankind and his way of life. Now, there's a sermon that's online that if you haven't listened to it, you might like to listen to it in addition to the sermon on Atonement and Reconciliation. Listen to the sermon about Zion, because that is going to be the kingdom of God. And a lot of people are very fearful of it, because man just doesn't like the idea of God telling them how to live, what to eat, what days to keep, and who he is and the respect that he demands. Yes. Because he is God. And man's going to have to finally learn to take his filthy shoes off his feet, because God's realm is holy and perfect and just. So, you see, as I was able to stand there and look out at the Jezreel Valley, and the next day was able to drive through the Jezreel Valley, I saw something that nobody else on the tour saw. Well, I think my wife and daughter saw it a little bit, but I saw something that nobody paid any attention to, because they were ignorant of it, because they're ignorant of the Word of God, and most people don't believe God. They just do not believe Him and what He says He's going to do, and that's where He's going to do it. So Jezreel is a place of history. It's a place of prophecy. It's the place of future great events. Armageddon at Megiddo, and the reunification of Israel and Judah, and the establishment of the kingdom of God that will be headquartered in Jerusalem, but it will be started there. And so great is the day of Jezreel. This has been James Throgmorton speaking to you for the Churches of God.